We need that every once in a while. Even a holiness church has got to have it, because things can change so fast, even in a holiness church. We need that refresher course. We need to be, as Peter said, we need our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance. No, nothing new. Just stirring up our pure minds. Praise God. Why do we need our pure minds stirred up? Well, it seems like something impure gets on top, gets to coming to the surface and clouding the atmosphere and fogging the situation. So we need our pure minds stirred up. Amen. When you get old timers, when you got the milk out of the spring, well, you stirred it up. After you skimmed as much as you could off of it, you stirred the rest of it up, even. Amen. Or if you was drinking whole milk, you stirred it up. I preached for Jess Yoss and the Yoss family, two revivals in Bates, Oklahoma. They lived out in the edge of McAllister, and Jess Yoss supervised the dairy, and he'd get up 4 or 5 o'clock every morning, start haying and feeding cows. They had 45 head of Jersey cattle, and that cream would be 5 inches thick on them quart bottles. They still used quart bottles back then. And they not only milked 45 head of Jerseys and had a grade A raw milk dairy and peddled raw grade A milk, unpasteurized milk, up and down the streets of McAllister, and I'd get up and go out in time to help Sister Yoss cap all those bottles, fill those bottles and cap them. And they not only had a dairy and sold milk, they, old Mr. Yoss, crippled up with arthritis, couldn't work much, but he did all the cooking on the farm, and he'd have breakfast fixed when we got all that done. Jess got all the cows milked and the milking machines all put away and everything cleaned up while they came in just before we went on the route about 9 o'clock and had breakfast. And sitting on the table all around before breakfast, whatever we had for breakfast, while they had each individual a whole quart of cold, whole milk with cream that high, 5-6 inches high on it. We'd take it and shake it up. And they had a way of doing it, you know, just to grab the thing by the neck and shake it. Amen. And everybody had his own quart. They believed in their product. And you need to be kindly suspicious of the cook that don't eat her own cooking. Amen. And we have to have our pure mind stirred up so we get the whole story. The gospel is not contained in one verse. It's taught in the whole Bible. If it's not taught in the whole Bible, it's not taught. Did you hear that? If it's not taught in the whole Bible, it's not taught. You can't take one scripture, wrench it out of context, and build a foundation on that alone unless it is verified by 2 or 3 witnesses in the Bible. Amen. And so we need our pure minds stirred up. We need to see the whole picture. Amen. You heard the story of the blind men, never seen an elephant before. And one got a hold of his tail and said, "An elephant's like a rope." Another got a hold of his trunk and said, "It's like a hose." And another got a hold of the side, fell to the side and said, "It's like the side of a barn." And another got a hold of his legs and said, "It's like a tree." And none of them had the whole elephant in perspective. You had to get them all together to get the whole elephant. Amen. We have to have our pure minds stirred up and look at the whole picture. Many errors and false doctrines have come from looking at things one-sidedly and narrowly. Amen. So we need to see the whole picture. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Amen. Paul uses that term many times in his writings, especially in 1 Corinthians. Amen. I would not ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. They were born again too. Amen. The Bible says so. Amen. And they had Christ also. Amen. The Bible says so. They drank of that rock, and the rock that followed them was Christ. Amen. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Amen. Now these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Amen. And God's judgment came on them, didn't it? Amen. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and are written for our admonition. What could be clearer, plainer? Two times now he said it was for our example. Our examples of the intent we should not lust after evil things. Our examples upon whom the ends of the world are come. You don't need anything much clearer than that, do you? You got two witnesses right there. Amen. That the things in the Old Testament were written for our examples. We have movements, even in Pentecost, that won't have anything to do with the Old Testament. Well, wait a minute. You're going to have a hard time understanding the New Testament without the Old Testament. Amen. You'll even have a harder time understanding the Old without the New. We got to have them both. Praise God. And wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, that's one place he says there's a possibility of him that thinketh he standeth to take heed lest he fall. And Galatians said, ye are fallen from grace. Amen. And what more do you need to disprove than these two witnesses? It's possible for a child of God, having known God, to fall. Amen. Amen. There hath no temptation. I'm making the point of this because you'll run into somebody that speaks real smooth and real nice and preaches real convincingly and persuasively that you can't never fall, having once been up, you can't never get down. Amen. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Amen. God always makes a way to escape. In order for us not to escape, we must willfully ignore God's plan of escape. God didn't put us into any situation without a back door to it. God didn't put us into any situation where we just could not get out of it. Amen. He'll make a way for our escape. Amen. That you may be able to bear it, what? The temptation. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as unto wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What shall I say then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. No, the idol's not anything, and the altar's not anything. But the spirit behind it is a devil. And they're sacrificing to devils. Amen. And not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Amen. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Huh? Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Amen. You can't come to the highway of holiness and pray to Jesus and then go down to Catholic Church and pray to Mary. Amen. There's some folks back 25, 30 years ago that began the charismatic movement. They tried that, and they're still trying. One preacher in particular got saved to highway of holiness, graduated from export, now claims to be a Catholic. Amen. What kind of a Catholic? I mean, he claims having great revivals, great move of God. Amen. Even supposedly had one down here at the Corpus Christi Catholic Church, one of the biggest in Cincinnati. They have service three times on Sunday. Amen. And Dave Miller went over to talk to the pastor, Father so-and-so, about them throwing beer bottles on his property when he came out to play. And the pastor said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, if you don't quit, I'm going to call the police. And he opened the door and said, there he is. And the policeman was standing right there and listening all the time. And the policeman stepped out and said, are they on your property now? And he said, no. He said, are they throwing any bottles on your property now? And he said, no. But they have a lot of times. He said, well, I suggest that you going about your business, let this father alone. Amen. Ordered him off property. Well, amen. It's supposed to be having a great revival in one of the Pentecostal churches in this town, and I appreciate it if they did. I hope they did. And I don't underrate anything that God does, but I saw one of their members the other night that's supposed to be one of the particulars in that church and involved, you know, and he looked like a cross between it, with all the chains around his neck and his shorts on, you know, and his dress and his general attire. He looked like a cross between a hippie and a gypsy and a yuppie. And I figured, you know, if they was having very great revival, you know, it didn't help him too much. Amen. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Amen. Yeah. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. In other words, if it was just me, I might be able to do some things. But it's not just me. So since it's not just me and there's a whole church full of people, weak and strong, some stronger, maybe most of them are weaker. Amen. He said, since that's the way it is, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That word wealth is in the italics, but it means your neighbor's welfare. It don't mean that you're trying to get his money. Amen. It means you're seeking his welfare. Amen. I don't mean his welfare check neither. It means that we should each seek his neighbor's good. Amen. I was down at Aldi's. We go down there quite a bit because have good stuff and it's just cheaper. There's a lady in front of me that had a handful of food stamps and she checked out $12 some odd cents. She said, I'm going to have to put some of this back. And she said, I only have $9. And so he took some canned goods out, figured it up. Still didn't have enough. Took some more canned goods, all of her Campbell's soup or equivalent thereof. And a lot of her canned stuff out. And she just kept giving up stuff. And finally, all she had left didn't look like really $9 worth. But she had one big ham, pretty good sized ham anyway. And she said, all that come to $9. I felt sorry for her. I felt like paying for it myself. When I told my wife about it, she said I should have paid for it and helped her out. Maybe I should have. Maybe the next time I'll do better. But sometimes I'm a little slow about being sensitive about opportunities. And so I didn't. But he said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's welfare. Amen. And whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. Now that's a smart thing to do, you know, if it's a matter of a question of someone's weakness in a certain area. Amen. Or your own weakness. Sometimes it's better not to ask any questions. In those days in particular, many things were offered to idols. Amen. Paul knew the idol was nothing, and he knew that that didn't change the meat. He's going to pray over it and believe God. He is like evangelist down in Batesville, Arkansas, and Brother Wall was sitting around the table, and they'd asked the blessing already, and Brother Wall asked the evangelist, is it wrong to eat pork? And Brother James Wall asked the evangelist that, and the evangelist was pretty gruff and sharp-spoken. He said, Walled his eyes and said, you asked a blessing on it, didn't you? And he said, yes, sir, go ahead and eat it. And that's what we need to do for conscience sake in general. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he made it and gave it to Adam's race. Isn't that good? Amen. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, just can't get out of it. Whatsoever set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Don't worry about it, whether it's pork, whether it's rattlesnake, or whether it's fried chicken, or whether it's fried turtle, or whether it's offered to idols or not. That's just me, you know, talking on that four parts, you know. Sometimes it's better not to ask any questions. Just go ahead and enjoy your dinner. Amen. Roger told me repeatedly he didn't like wild meat. He just didn't like it. One day we came in and Sister Collins had left a big roast that Brother Pasquarelli had given me in the pan, one of them kind that you tie together, you know, got those strings around it, you know. Boy, it was a dandy roast and had a kittle of mashed potatoes and gravy and we ate. I knew what it was, but I didn't tell him. But he told me he just couldn't stand wild meat. So he said, boy, I said, that's a good cut of meat. That's a good cut of meat. And he just went back time after time. And we ate.